Hi, I'm Dr. Gamaverdian from Dental Lounge. Would you like to increase your success, whether it be personal success or career success? Studies have proven that enhancing your smile can enhance your quality of life in every way. I've seen hundreds of patients for porcelain veneers and smile makeovers with amazing results. Simply tap the banner and book your free consultation and I'll be happy to show you. And best of all, ask about our interest-free payment plans. Dental Lounge Macquarie Street. Create success with your smile.
On 1116 SEN, Bush and the Burbs for Toyota's Good for Footy program. Local Toyota dealers supporting local clubs. Discover more at toyota.com.au/AFL.
And the Australians continue to attack the Japanese at their defensive backs to the wall weakest, because quite frankly they're running at them, and at the moment the Japanese are getting out of the way in some cases. Brad Smith, powerhouse defensive back, making a big run into the penalty area, but too forceful, and actually was free kicked whilst on the ball. It seems now it's the Japanese artistry versus the Australian brute force, and at the moment, Australia making a pretty good fist of it. An attempt from outside the penalty area by the Japanese is not just speculative, it bordered on stupid. How are you, Def?
Good, Fonny. Hello, Fonny. Hello, listeners.
One eye on the soccer. It is a big game for the Socceroos, and a win would guarantee a fourth consecutive qualification for World Cup finals.
Yes. Interesting your comments there. And Brad Smith. I've known a few Brad Smith in local football.
It's a local footy name, isn't it? Is there a North Melbourne Brad Smith?
There's certainly Rob Smith, the big, bulky full forward, who was later in charge of the social club. He died too young, not so long ago. But he might be right with Brad Smith. I remember seeing a Brad Smith play at full forward for Echuca in 2000.
Maybe an Adelaide Brad Smith. I can think of a burly-looking sort of Brad Smith. That
one was from Bundoora originally. I went there because Ken Sheldon had been... To see Ken Sheldon coach, Tim Watson had been sacked as coach of St Kilda midway through 2000.
Yep.
So Ken Sheldon was coaching Echuca, so I wanted to ask him about,
near his hometown of Midiyama.
That's right, near Midiyama. What's it like being a sacked coach of St Kilda? What do you think of that? That's why I was there. And it's amazing from that one game, that the stories that have evolved over the years. Rhys Archer had followed me on Twitter today. He kicked 8 goals as a 16-year-old that day.
Brad Smith, North Melbourne. He's the one I remembered from East Perth. There was also a Brad Smith who had a single game for Collingwood in 2000.
Brad Smith, the big ruckman.
A lumbering ruckman who came from Claremont to Richmond Reserves.
Was there a Brad Smith who was played for Melbourne, then rucked for Baldwin for a while? For a long time, actually. Captain. Not so long ago.
The only Brad...
I don't think he got a game, but...
Okay.
Was that Brad Smith? There's been a few Brad Smiths over the years. That East Perth one, yes, that rings a bell too.
Yeah, that's the one I recall playing for North Melbourne in the 70s. Might have even interloped on a footy card at a point in time.
Finally, we had a great day at Ormond on Saturday.
Yep.
Now, one of these things, you do these lunches and then... I enjoy the after lunch when people just file forward and tell me their stories. Yes. I met Bruce Bourne, who's John Anderson named him the Herald Sun as the number one amateur footy identity.
Yep.
This year, this year, 125th anniversary. I met Bruce on Saturday and also met Ray Wood. Now, Ray, brother of Roger Wood, who was a great teammate. Well, Ray and Roger were both teammates of Bruce. Yeah, the question is always asked, why didn't Bruce Bourne go to South Melbourne? South Melbourne told him, apparently, that he would have been a walk-up start, centre half forward, centre half back, and he just never did. He had a few training runs, he told me, and Ray Wood actually told me that these days St Bernard's, my old club, is known as the Snake Pit.
Yes.
Never known as a Snake Pit when I played there. That's how long ago I was playing. But in the 70s, the Ormond boys used to call it the Quarry. I'd never heard it referred to as that, but the St Bernard's ground is cut into the side of a hill. And there was the Buckley Street extension hadn't gone through at that stage. So it was a bit of a quarry. It was a very apt name, I thought. I just never heard it referred to as that before. But Ray said, look, there's Bruce Bourne and half a dozen others who were very, very good footballers, who didn't leave Ormond, who stuck together, lifelong mates, became very successful in business. And one of the reasons is they had... Hang on. Tell us
keep
what's going.
Keep going.
No, okay. Tell us what's going on here.
Well, Australia have gone incredibly close to scoring. And a penalty shout here, a genuine penalty shout, as one of the Socceroos, maybe, again, Troisi, or possibly even Leckie, is held in the penalty area. But prior to that, Leckie has, from the edge of the penalty area, had a strike on goal. It was along the carpet. It took a deflection, and after the deflection, the goalkeeper was left simply hoping, the Japanese goalkeeper, and he turned around just in time to see it strike the post and career safely away. But that was the closest either team has come to scoring. It would have been with some fortune had Australia been able to bag that first goal, but that is football, and the more shots you have on goal in crowded penalty areas, the more likely you are to get a favourable deflection. And now Japan counters at the other end of the pitch and wins a corner. 38 minutes gone, 38 minutes gone, and it remains nil all, nil apiece.
I don't follow soccer closely, but the 97, I was at the game we lost in 97. That's my biggest sporting moment in Australia. That's the best event I've been to.
With Peter
Hall? The emotion, yes, running out on the field.
Terry Venables, the coach.
We had four shots in the first 2 minutes. That was an amazing night. Last night in November, I think it was, 97. And they're always played. There's always this played at this frantic pace, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, this is... Oh, gee, there's shouts for a penalty here, this time for the Japanese, hoping that a handball goes their way, but it doesn't. And it's action at both ends. And I've got to say, the Japanese are fluffing their lines a lot more often than the Socceroos are. Plenty of nerves in front of their home crowd, as this time Japan does surge forward. And there's nervous moments at both ends of the pitch. 40 minutes gone and plenty of action. And the Socceroo fans, some 2,500 in number, including Francis Leach, who's there with the Green and Gold Army. See if we can pick out that bald pate. Where are you, Frank? Frankie?
Can't say, mate.
Were a lot of bald guys there.
There was. I thought that myself. Where's Suzuki Honda? Which one's he?
I haven't seen Honda.
I think he's everyone's favourite Japanese player. But...
I haven't seen Honda. And Nui is sort of a new wunderkind, and he had a good strike on goal a little bit earlier. But, yeah, Honda has been a mainstay of that side with the easy-to-remember name. And this time it's put in the back of the net. Now, there's going to be a call for offside, but it's not. And Japan lead 1-0. Gee, I'd like to have a look at that again on replay. He has sprung the offside trap and put away a simple cross ball, but metres in front of the Australian defensive unit. And if he has sprung the offside legally, it doesn't really matter, because Japan won, lead Australia nil against really the run of play. And all of a sudden, Australia again have to do it from the rear. And that is certainly a legal goal. No question whatsoever. Timed his run perfectly and was allowed to wander.
It's like he's unmarked.
On his own.
Just to tap in.
And a put-away goal leaves Australia with much to do in the second half.
That was very skillfully taken, actually.
Yeah, it was taken on the volley, but...
on his heel rather than the instep.
Almost. At that level, certainly shouldn't be missed. He was Johnny on the spot and had sprung, if it was an offside trap or just lazy defence, one or the other, and given himself a huge margin in which to work. Asano is the scorer for Japan. Asano puts Japan ahead 1-0 in the shadows of half time. And it's over to you, Socceroos, desperate now for an equaliser. That's no good. Well, let's return to local football and hope matters on the international stage sort themselves out.
That's right. Well, for the World Cup to Ormond. Look, Ray Wood just saying, look, those boys stuck together, very close, still close, became very successful in business because they had this great background with each other. And, you know, the network of amateur footy or any footy league, if you hang around, serves you well in business. I thought that was a good comment by Ray. And, met Peter Van Kalken, umpire, teacher throughout all of Victoria. I mentioned Boozer Robertson in the talk. I mean, we're in Ormond. I mentioned this bloke who's famous in the Mallee. Sure enough, someone files forward. It was Peter Van Kalken. Say, I played with Boozer Robertson. And, Peter played for Bort. He played with Boozer in an interleague team. A North Central team used to take Mallee players. And you always meet there's always connections at every lunch you go to. It was a great day. Thanks to Richard Simon, the president, for having us there. And they had a good win after that. Confirmed second place in the ladder in D1. So they're playing the second semi against St Mary's Salesian. That's on Saturday at Sports Cup Arena.
And that's interesting because St Mary's Salesian play on one of the smallest grounds in...
I don't know it.
The Ammos. Yes, I've umpired there a couple of times. Lovely little ground in Glen Iris. But, yeah, it's a far cry from Sports Cup Arena, so maybe advantage Ormond.
Yeah, Brett Connell there, the CEO. It's interesting that there's going to be massive renovations at Sports Cup Arena, which many listeners would know it as Elstermead Park. It's good on them for getting those renovations up, I reckon. Yeah. They need them, basically, and it'll be a good thing.
What sort of renovations? There's not much seating there. There's not really much for the crowd, is there? There's sort of a shed.
Yeah, it's... Well, I think they're going to get new administrative rooms, okay. Change rooms. It's always lacked something. It's always lacked... It's been the enemy of atmosphere, I described once about 20 years ago, and it's... Just because it's open... In September, unfortunately, there's always this shocking wind, or often, a shocking wind. Just funnels from the city goals towards the Frankston end goals. But anyway, they're going to improve the look, and they brought the boundary in many metres years ago, and I think they're going to reconfigure the ground as well, actually.
We are going to take an early break, and in doing so, we have the disappointing news to report that when we come back, most likely it will be half time because we're only 30 seconds away from time to be added on. But it is Japan 1, Australia 0. Asano being able to spring forward and no offside flag, quite rightly adjudicated to be onside. Australia attempt to counter here and would dearly love to be able to gain parity before half-time, but that seems an impossible task now. So it'll be the second half, a minute to be added on. So when we return from the break, we can focus on local football, and we're going to head to Dartmoor, the Dartmoor Football Club. Actually, before we do go to Dartmoor, you spoke to Peter Van Kelken, and he had a great story.
Look, he had a couple, but I did note... Not a few down afterwards. Peter played very good footy for a long time. And after retiring at 35, his last club was Katanga, where the Swans jumper, now in the Pecola League. The old South Melbourne jumper, sorry. He became an umpire. And he's umpiring Gavin Exwell, who was playing for Stanhope. And he was just saying that these ex-AFL guys remain competitive. And Gavin Exwell had kicked 14 goals halfway through the last quarter of one particular game. And Peter Van Kelken gave a free against him, and Gavin Exwell was just whinging. Peter said, come on, mate, you've kicked 14. You can't complain too much. But that's the nature of the competitive football, that he's kicked 14. He's still having to go at the umpire for not giving him a fair go.
We are going to take a break. It is halftime. Japan 1, Australia 0. So much work to be done by the Socceroos in the second half as all of a sudden that ticket to Russia is not assured. When we return, we're off to the Dartmoor Football Club, I think the home of Jeremy Cameron.
That's right, Finny. That's a big reason Dartmoor are playing in the grand final on Saturday in the Southwest District League, right in the bottom left-hand corner of Victoria. We like going to country occasionally. You cannot get more country in Victoria than this. It's over 5 hours away. Jeremy Cameron got his first league game, and very soon afterwards they changed their colours to the Giants' colours. That's what they think of Jeremy Cameron down there.
Well, he's a giant at Dartmoor, but we'll be heading to Dartmoor sans Jeremy Cameron and find out what the state of play is in 2017. We need to be versatile tonight, and we swap hats. We take off our...
It's almost bizarre.
We take off our soccer shirts, and obviously overlaid with the passing of Mike Cockerell, hard to...
He was the best soccer writer in newspapers in Australia, clearly. In my humble opinion.
Yeah, fearless, cutting edge, and highly
good
respected.
Good writer, too. Actual writer.
Actual writer. A quality that you'd be able to pick up comfortably. Let's head to a part of Victoria less visited. How do I know that? Because I brought it up on the map, and to be honest, I don't know a lot about near neighbours Drick Drick or Munundara or something, but I do know that between Haywood and the South Australian border, there lies in wait Dartmoor, and that's the scenario in the South West Football League, is where at grand final time, we're joined by the president of Dartmoor, the football club that are now the Giants, Tony Woodall. G'day, Tony.
How you going?
G'day, Tony.
Very good, thanks. And take me into the heart of Dartmoor, both as a football club and a town. What's been Dartmoor's recent football history, and how's the town tracking?
Yeah, well, they're very excited this week because we go into the grand final this weekend. So, yes, very good. They won one in 2011 and again in 2014, and it was a fair old drought before that. So,
how long was the drought before that, Tony?
Yeah, it was 20-something years, I reckon.
Right,
yeah.
So this is a very successful period. How's this come about?
Yeah, well, just everyone's just got behind everything. Jeremy's actually come from Dartmoor, so we've changed into the Giant colours, and it's created a bit of success. So.
Well, look, we might as well talk about this straight away, Tony. It's one of the reasons I've rung you. You're talking about Jeremy. He's Jeremy Cameron, the GWS key forward, from Dartmoor, a small town in the bottom left-hand corner of Victoria. So how soon, what were your colours? What jumpers did you wear?
Yeah, we actually had red and white, and we changed from that. I'm not 100% when, and then we went into Bulldog colours.
Yep.
And then we won the Bulldog colours in 2011, and then changed into the Giant colours in when Jeremy went to the Giants, and then we won it in 2014. So as soon as he
played an AFL game, did you change your colours? Well, that's
a fair
commendation for a hometown product, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's a very loyal town, and it's very close-knitted. So, and Jeremy, everyone knows what he's achieved. So, so the whole township got behind and followed. So that was wonderful.
Whose idea was it to change the colours to the Giants' colours when Jeremy Cameron was still a teenager?
Yeah, well, it was a whole committee decision. It was actually a president at the time. He decided to go that way, and the whole town got behind him. So Lee Lipscomb,
okay,
and which was very, very good. And it supported Jeremy all the way, and the Giants have actually been good, and we've had a bit of success in the jumpers, like I said, in 2014, and we're back in the grand final now. So
was Jeremy the first player from Dartmoor to ever play in the AFL? Is that the part of the excitement,
there's been plenty that have sort of tried out there, but haven't sort of made it. But Jeremy's whole family and everything—they're still good supporters of the club and everything. So it's a wonderful decision.
Sorry, two more just on Jeremy. Did he play senior footy for Dartmoor?
Played senior footy.
Geez, he must have been young. How old was he?
Yeah, played at 15 or 16 and then went straight to the Rebels. Yeah.
Okay, right. Kick a few goals at a 15-year-old, did he? Or?
Yes, went quite well. He always had the making, so...
Saw something there, fair enough. Yeah. Did he?
A very, very good golfer at the same time, so he had a big decision. So.
Oh, right. I heard he was a keen fisherman. I mean, I've read he's a keen fisherman as well. Is that right?
Yeah, very keen fisherman and loved his rifles and guns and that as well. So.
Right. Will he be back this weekend is my last question on Jeremy.
Well, that I'm not 100% sure on, but, I'm sure he would make it here if he could, so...
All right.
Yeah.
So I do note that the town does have a golf club, and given the size of the town, Dartmoor Golf Club must be a cause of great pride. Now the football team, obviously, in recent years, and probably always has been a centre of activity as well, but there's a fair bit that you draw your players from farther afield than simply Dartmoor. Where is the current team sort of the... demography of the current side? Where do you draw your players from?
A lot of them are all sort of born and bred here and moved away for work, but just travel back to here, like Mount Gambier and Portland and whatever, and some from Cassidon. Yeah.
Right.
So they're all sort of born and bred here and just all keep coming back to play with each other. So.
And who are some of the star turns this season?
Yeah, well, the coach, like Jaden Pulaski, Lockie Pulaski, Josh Woodall. Josh has played at Glenelg. He played 25 senior games at Glenelg or something. He come back to play with his cousins that are Jaden and Lockie. And then
your son, Tony? Josh,
yep.
Okay, yep. Go on, yep.
So he's come back to play with his cousins. So, and there's just all their mates together have just all come back together. So, yeah, and some of them were in the grand final in 2011 and 14. So they've just all come back to play together again. So,
all right. You've beaten Western's, which is a Portland team, I think, by 50 points in the prelim on Saturday.
Yeah.
This week you're playing Haywood, who've been very successful since dropping down from the, the Western Border League. How have you gone against Haywood this year?
The first game, I think we lost by about 4 goals, and the next game probably 8 or 9. But we, you know, unfortunately we haven't met them with a full deck, like Jace McCrae is in this week, and he's a leading goal kicker, and Corey Smith was a league best and fairest last year. This is the first time he's played against them. And Cody Ireland and Marcus Von Due. So this will be the first time we've met him with a full deck, and Michael Oldfield hadn't played against him. So.
Right, from Tubular Bells.
They had Coney Island there for New York flavours.
but they're all of 4 or 5 very good ins. So, it should be a very interesting game, I'd say. But Haywood is a mighty side, and it should be a very good contest, I reckon.
Well, hopefully you're the Giants for quite a while because Jeremy Cameron is settled at the club. If I've got to ask, if he was to move clubs, let's say he ended up playing for North Melbourne, would you become the Kangaroos and sport their colours?
Well, we never ever crossed that bridge because Jeremy's very loyal to wherever he goes. So we just thought, well, once he named the club, we'd be pretty settled for a fair while, I'd say. But, yeah. So we haven't actually crossed that bridge. We'll cross it when he gets to it.
And speaking of bridges, does the Glenelg River cough up redfin? And because it is my favourite eating fish.
Plenty of very good fish. Any fish you want to catch, you'll get in the Glenelg.
Yeah, very good.
Mulloway, the bim and the redfin and trout. And, yeah. So, no, very good fishing spot and a very good little country town.
I like the idea of a Glenelg River runs right along the border of the golf club there.
Yeah, yeah.
That sounds
right,
like, that's
right around the town and then back over it. You've got to cross the bridge to come into it. So.
You know what, Tony? That sounds like somewhere to take the wife.
Yes.
She's not interested in either, but I am.
Nice little hotel to let her relax and have a coffee while you go fishing.
Oh, yes. She needs a break.
Sounding good, Tony.
Pun?
Sounding good, isn't it?
Yeah, it sounds really good. Hey, Tony, all the best on the weekend. And I know there's a rivalry. Good luck for the Giants in their big clash against Haywood.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks very much, and all the best.
Thanks, Tony.
There you go. So I was keeping an eye on their sister city, Tokyo.
I love the fact that we've crossed from Tokyo to Dartmoor.
Yeah.
This is one of the great crosses in radio.
Yeah, it's, let's just say they're both thriving in a different way. And unfortunately for the Australians, the Socceroos can't, at the moment, get that equaliser in the back of the net. But they are certainly pressing, and Japan obviously playing back a little, trying to defend this 1-0 lead, suddenly become more susceptible. So, by all means, not all is lost as the Socceroos push forward again. Time travelled it's a small clock, I think, only 7 minutes in the second half. So there's still plenty of time for the Socceroos to find that all-important equaliser that would be so important in their attempt to get to Moscow for a fourth consecutive World Cup finals. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, Kristen Albarkas from the Western Region Football League will fill us in with their upcoming finals, and we'll have a quick whip around the leagues to find out which teams are placed to maybe do a Dartmoor or a Haywood and claim the flag. It's still 1-0 Japan over Australia, 57 minutes traversed, and the man that Japan feared, no matter that he is ageing, no matter that he is a irregular starter in the A-League, Tim Cahill still, to them, is the most dangerous Australian, the most credentialed, and of course he is.
Talismanic.
Talismanic is the word, and he is beginning to warm up as Australia do press, and unfortunately, effort is not being matched by finish, and that final pass into the penalty area again leaves them unsatiated, and this time Japan on the counter are looking to end the argument, and great defensive work by, I'm not sure if it was Trent Sainsbury, it was, a valiant leg, concedes a corner but thwarts an attack. And we continue our hunt for final results in local football and head to the Western Region Football League, where Kristen Albarkas joins us. Good evening, Kristen.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. You're coming sort of being rerouted via Tokyo. We're trying to... no, not really. The Western Region Football League are a week into finals.
Yes, we had our week one of finals over the weekend and week two this weekend, and I can't believe there's only a few more weeks of the season. It's gone so quick this season.
Kristen, big result in the qualifying final Division 1, where Sunshine defeated Spotswood by 14 points. So Sunshine have now defeated Deer Park in the last round and then Spotswood. So the top two teams in the last 2 weeks. That adds a bit more spice than looked apparent a few weeks ago in the Division 1.
So. It absolutely does. Sunshine, it would be, yeah, a bit of an upset on the weekend over Spotswood. Spotswood got them twice during the home and away season and quite close matches. And Sunshine have always sort of been thereabouts this year but haven't been able to sort of get the job done. But they've got a good group of players together, Ben Descent, Liam Kavanagh, Josh Linton, Daniel Castellano. These type of players are really gelling well together, and they've hit form at the right end of the season, and they go into this week's qualifying final against Deer Park, semi-final two against Deer Park, and full of confidence, and I'd say they think they can get the job done.
And the Hoppers Crossing defeated Werribee Districts by 7 points. So this week it's Spotswood versus Hoppers Crossing in the first semi.
That game on the weekend was a pretty scrappy one, low scoring. Wet weather at Burbank Oval played a huge part in that result, and I think they kicked the last sort of two goals in the last few minutes of the game, Hoppers Crossing. So they sort of lucky to get through, but they'll probably head into this game against Spotswood full of confidence as well. They beat them twice this year, one by 40 points and one by 70 odd points the second time. So Spotty might be going out in straight sets, which I know that would be disappointing to see considering how well they've finished the season.
Very proud club. I don't think they'll fight if that is the case.
Exactly. It'll be a very entertaining clash. So if anyone wants to go out there on Sunday, Burbank Oval, you'll see a classic match.
Well, that's a big promise, but Kristen, given the season form and what's at stake, mm-hmm. I'm backing you and backing a big game on the weekend. Thanks so much for joining us, and the Western Region Football League, Deer Park certainly the team to beat, but by no means over the line this season.
Not at all. They're going for their fifth in a row, Fonny.
Yeah, so. It's an amazing effort. It is an amazing effort, but the stakes are getting higher. Thanks again, Kristen.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
Kristen Albarkas there from the Western Region Football League. Let's head around the grounds. And in the Southern Football League, we interviewed Shane Sheedy, the coach of the Oakley Districts last week. Unfortunately, Oakley Districts came up short against East Malvern, and it's East Malvern who make the finals this season.
That's right. They had a game which would decide who got fifth. It was basically fifth versus sixth, and East Malvern got up. So the only permutation there which could have thrown a spanner in the works was Cheltenham. If they won by 20 goals and East Malvern won, then they might have got in. Cheltenham did do well. They defeated Port Coles, but not by enough. They won by 67 points, so they end up missing it out by percentage. So Cheltenham were nowhere halfway through the season. They've come home really strongly, just not quite strongly enough. The final, at the top of the ladder, there were some interesting ones where St Paul's have defeated Dingley, the top team, by 9 points. But there's no change to the top three despite that result. Morty Alec defeated St Kilda City by 130 points. So the top three remains Dingley, Morty Alec, St Paul's, albeit all on 56 points. That's unusual. The top three all on the same points. Bentley have ended up fourth with 40 points. So what's that? Four games behind. They had an easy win in the last game. They defeated Clayton by 214 points. So the final five, Dingley, Morty Alec, St Paul's all on 56, Bentley 40, East Melbourne 36, 121%. Outside the five, Cheltenham 36, 107%. Then you get into Oakley Districts, another game behind. So this week, Morty Alec versus St Paul's qualifying at Springvale on Saturday, and Bentley versus East Melbourne elimination final at Springvale on Sunday.
The Socceroos have made a tactical change. Tommy Urich, who came into the game with a corky, the reason he didn't start, a regular scorer for the Socceroos in recent times, has come on to replace James Troisi. And 61 minutes gone, it is still Japan. The Blue Samurai 1 and Australia 0. Brad Smith, culpable in some way for the first goal, remains on the pitch. And a free kick has been awarded to the Japanese in an attacking position. Now, in the Eastern Football League, Vermont have earned the double chance, emphatically so.
Well, yes. I mean, last round there was last week. Largely went as expected, although Blackburn defeated Doncaster by 8 points. So Doncaster slipped from second to fourth on percentage. Vermont defeated Noble Park by 61 points, so Noble Park had to win to give themselves a chance of getting fifth. It didn't happen. The other significant result, Bayswater defeated Roeville by 5 points. So they're second. They finished the year in last place, but with their second win of the season. So top five finally, Vermont 68 points. Then you go down to Baldwin, South Croydon, Doncaster, Blackburn, all on 48 points. Baldwin 125.6, down to Blackburn 110.3. So but Vermont, and what's that? 20 points clear, five games clear, and then the others very even. This week, Baldwin versus South Croydon. That's the qualifying final of Bayswater on a Saturday. Doncaster versus Blackburn. The elimination at Jubilee Park on Sunday. Just a quick mention, D2, Mirrabooka needed to win to ensure a place in the finals. They won by 107 points, defeating Mitcham. Kirei Teleski kicked 12. One Turner South needed to win to get in to get fifth spot. They led all day against Doncaster East, but they Doncaster East kicked a goal in the final 30 seconds. So One Turner East missed out there. In Division 3, thanks to Steve Bricknell for letting me know this, Ringwood started the season 0-3. Then for the next 15 games, they won 14. So slightly Sydney-esque finish to the season there. This week, Ringwood versus Park Orchards, the second semi. That's at East Burwood on Saturday. Templestowe versus Heathmont, the first semi at Central Reserve on Sunday.
We've been in a holding pattern in the Essendon District Football League, and finally we've got finals. Greenvale versus Aberfeldy, the second semi at Windy Hill on Saturday, and on Sunday at Windy Hill, it is Maribyrnong Park versus Strathmore in the first semi. Now, in the VAFA, there's still one round to go, and what's the state of play in Premier?
Well, look, the four is set. It'll be St Kevin's, Collegians, Uni Blues, DLR. Uni Blues and DLR play this week, and they could well end up, most likely, will end up playing each other again next week. The interest is in the relegation battle. Basically, Old Trinity put themselves out of the relegation zone last week by scoring a good win over Collegians. This week they play Old Melbournians. Uni Blacks must win, and Old Trinity lose for Uni Blacks to survive. But Uni Blacks are playing St Kevin's, the top team, clearly the top team actually. So they've got a big job ahead of them. Bomaris are going down. That was confirmed after the loss last week. But St Bede's, they're a chance. Uni Blacks are trying to get over St Bede's. They're now on 18 points after a shocking second half of the season. So St Bede's playing Bomaris. Uni Blacks might well survive, but they'd have to beat St Kevin's to do so.
Okay, that win over St Bede's by St Kevin's is ominous, though, isn't it?
Yes. What they win by 157 points. So these have really fallen away in the second half of the year. Northern Footy League finals this week, finally. Bundoora versus Northcote Park, qualifying at Preston on Saturday. West Preston versus Greensboro, elimination at Preston on Sunday. McLeod looking good after defeating Northcote Park by 84 points last week.
And we've got some folks from the Ajax Football Club joining us in the next couple of hours with Peaky, and I know a few of them are listening. So Ajax all to play for in the last round. They host Fitzroy. Monash Blues have taken their spot in the four, and Monash Blues are away to Old Carey.
Ajax went down with a huge fight against St Bernards last week by 11 points. Good effort, but just didn't quite get there. So Monash Blues are a game clear in fourth place of Ajax. Ajax have got their work cut out because Fitzroy need to win to avoid relegation. They lost last week to Parkdale Vultures, so Parkdale went from ninth to eighth. Fitzroy went down from eighth to ninth. So Fitzroy must win to stay up. That'd be very disappointing for the Roys if they go down. They've been up. They were pressing for the finals last year. And Parkdale playing Old Scott, so that's a top team.
Daff, we covered more ground than ever. From Dartmoor to Tokyo. Don't know whether that's ever been done on a radio program.